Monday morning, 10 o'clock. What's up? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Glad to have you with us. Lots of hoops going on today. Last show from Richmond before we take this show on the road up in D.C. tomorrow and the rest of the week live from the ACC tournament. Thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates. We'll shout them out as the week goes on. We're going to have a ton of fun interviews with all the players, all the coaches, all the people up there from D.C. Wouldn't surprise me at all if this is the last ACC tournament in D.C. So if you want to go catch it while it's close, they're committed to North Carolina for the next 3 years after this. And as you know, the D.C. arena is a matter of political dispute at the moment. Could be the last one. We'll see. This will be the third ACC tournament in D.C. Great spot for it, obviously. Central to everybody. Should be some great crowd. Should be some really great basketball as the week goes on. Bracket was released. Virginia Tech's got their pairing against Florida State. They'll be first up. UVA will wait to find out who they play. The winner of Clemson against either Boston College or Miami. Should be a really fun week of basketball up there. We're really excited for that. That starts tomorrow. But we've got a lot to take on here. We've got the right crew to do it. It's the Monday Fun Crew here with Hazel and Megan joining us in studio, solving the world's problems and having a little bit of fun while doing it. We'll open up the phone lines to you, 833-804-0910. Take you back to the Henrico Sports and Event Center from yesterday, where UR won the women's basketball title, their first ever A-10 women's basketball title. They'll be dancing for the first time since 2005. Of course, lots going on in the world of football. So we're with you until noon, 12 o'clock noon, high noon, AWOD Radio takes over, and he'll be doing it into the teeth of legal tampering period. It is NFL Legal Tampering Day. A happy Legal Tampering Day to all of you. Today is the day, noon, at 12 o'clock. The phone lines open, and teams can call players on other teams and try to get them to sign with their team. That happens for about 72 hours. Then Wednesday, 4 o'clock, contracts can be signed. You're going to hear, of course, a lot of news come out at 12:01 today, because that is how legal tampering works. Somehow within 30 seconds of legal tampering beginning, these giant contracts have been agreed to that are very complicated for all sides. Nobody asks any questions. Don't ask too many questions. You ask too many questions, legal tampering might unravel for everybody. So we'll have a little fun with legal tampering. Who do you want the Commanders to get? Who will they go get, and who can they go get? Russell Wilson, of course, the big domino that fell overnight, agrees to a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll go work with Mike Tomlin. We'll make the NFL minimum $1.21 million next year. They'll stick the Broncos with the tab. Thank you very much. We'll dive into that later. And a big day for JMU. JMU men and women's basketball teams playing for a trip to the dance tonight. All that and more. But we start locally, because I don't know if you noticed this morning, it was kind of a pain in the butt to get around. I just want to start by saying, and I'll own this, this is not a political program, and this is not a political take. So hear that loudly, and hear that clearly. I'm not weighing in on politics right now. All noted. Right? We're good? Yep, somebody didn't. That's okay. They'll be in my Twitter mentions in a minute. That's how this works. Nine people who are affiliated with the Palestinian Justice Movement locked themselves to a structure on the 95-64 interchange this morning and stopped traffic for people coming into town on 64 and 95. Again, this is not a political statement. I'm just going to say this. Don't do that. That's the statement here. Don't do that. They're getting attention. We're saying their names and their things. I just find it hard to believe this is the most effective way to get the job done. It's like, do you remember when the person glued themselves to the tennis court at the U.S. Open?
Oh yeah,
last year to protest climate change.
How could I forget?
How could you forget? They glued themselves to the tennis court. Yeah. Stopped the match for a long time. Now climate change, that, like, nobody needs awareness of climate change. I think we're at the point this is a political take, I guess. I think we're at the point, though, like, even the Republicans are like, yeah, there's climate change. They've just decided they don't care. Right?
Right,
like,
right.
Nobody at this point, I'm sure somebody at this point is like, it's not a real thing.
It's not real.
I mean, like, but if you're driving your car down the interstate while staring at your iPhone and seeing, like, the smoke come out of truck, like, nobody's confused at this point on climate change. But gluing yourself to the tennis court, that's not it. That's not the way to fix climate change.
Maybe the Senate. Someone who passes laws.
If you want to go glue yourself to Mitch McConnell's desk, knock yourself out.
He
can do something about it. I can't do anything about it. Oh. I'm just trying to host a radio show. I can't. Megan's trying to come in here and get her tea. That's all we're trying to do here. There are better ways than gluing yourself to a tennis court or chaining yourself to the middle of the road. And I'm unclear what the Richmond government is supposed to do in the first place to fix Palestine. I would say that's out of their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But again, not a political take. I'm not weighing in on the merits of either side. I'm just saying, please stop chaining yourselves to I-95. That's my request.
Michael Phillips wants to get to work.
That's my request to Richmond. Please stop chaining yourself to the road. We're trying to drive here.
Especially 95. That's a terrifying place to do that.
I'll say this. That takes guts.
That takes a lot of guts.
You're really brave. That takes guts. I applaud the passion and the commitment for the cause and wish they would channel it into more productive paths than chaining themselves to the road. You know, that first car come, like, it's a break or no break situation. Ugh. That's scary to think about. That's scary. It's a little bit like riding the elevator here at Odyssey Richmond.
Don't get me started. I almost died on the elevator.
You're not the first, and you won't be the last.
Nope. Well, never again.
Yeah, but it's worth it because we're all the way on the second floor.
You know what?
Moments of pause.
This is not the first time I've been called out by MP today.
No, it's not. It's not.
And it won't be the last.
It won't be the last.
All right. Speaking of driving, here's what I saw on Friday. I was walking around downtown Friday afternoon, and guy pulls up to the stoplight, windows down, just belting a song. Right? We've all done it. We've all been in cars. We've all done it. But the song he was belting out was the national anthem. Oh, yeah. Full volume.
I did not see that coming.
Very patriotic.
Wow.
It took me a second, and I looked. He, like, gave me a wave and, like, a let's go.
Feeling it.
Yeah. All right.
Did it sound good? Did he sound like a professional vocalist, or was this just, like, for fun?
He didn't sound bad, but he didn't sound like a professional vocalist. He sounded like a guy yelling at the top of his lungs while driving in a car. Like,
I was wondering if he was, like, rehearsing for something, but no. Right. He was just, like, vibing.
I see what you're saying. Like, maybe he was singing the anthem at the women's basketball game this weekend.
And was like rehearsing on the way. I've done stuff like that.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed to me it was more of a, like, you know, this is my jam, let's go. kind of screaming it out loud.
Good for him.
I like that.
It took me a second. It really caught me off guard for a second. You don't expect people to go full throat on that as their driver. Kudos to him. If you're listening, call in. We want to have you on the show to sing the national anthem to start the show.
Yes.
And just to be friends. I appreciate the enthusiasm for life, the zest for life there.
Mm-hmm.
Oscars last night, we'll leave that to Stubb, but John Mulaney stole the show at the Oscars last night. Here was John Mulaney last night at the Oscars.
You know, for years, movies didn't have sound, and then they figured it out. Some people say that the silent era was the golden era of film. These people are difficult and insane. Without sound, we wouldn't have been able to hear such classic lines as, "You're gonna need a bigger boat. I'll have what she's having." And, "He was in the Amazon with my mother when she was researching spiders just before she died." Or what about that moment in Field of Dreams when we hear, "If you build it, he will come. And then Costner does it. He builds a baseball field. Well, I guess he doesn't build it. He mows down corn, and then there is a field. And then he's like, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball. And the bank is like, you want to pay your mortgage? And he's like, nah, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball. And then he finds James Earl Jones, who wrote The Boat Rocker, which I thought was a real book deep into my 20s. And he's like, people will come, Ray. He's the only one with a financial plan. But what's weird is Timothy Busfield pushes little Gabby Hoffman off the bleachers, and she falls down, and she's unconscious. Then Burt Lancaster is Moonlight Graham, and he comes up and he pats her on the back a couple times, and he's like, hot dog stuck in the throat. And then he can't go back in the game, because I guess there's a rule in ghost baseball that if you leave the field at any point to become an elderly ghost and do the Heimlich maneuver, you can't return to the field. I love Field of Dreams. That should win Best Picture.
that's how you do the Oscars, right? You don't need to give current takes. You just riff on the movies. Yeah. I love it. That's John Mulaney at the Oscars last night. Field of Dreams did not win Best Picture. Oppenheimer won Best Picture. Famously criticized by AWOD as having too much dialogue. Yeah.
Lots of talking.
There's a lot of talking.
Not enough bombs.
It's a talker. wouldn't be a good silent movie.
No.
The title does imply an amount of exploding.
It does.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
And the cover.
No question.
They're tricking us.
It's fine. The one big one was pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Well, you can't have too many nuclear explosions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, exactly.
You know, pacing. That's that's an old style movie thing.
You get it.
I'd watch 3 hours of just John Mulaney wrapping up, summarizing old sports movies.
Honestly, yeah.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Just take on Bull Durham and all those. Just give the 60-second recap. That would be a good stand up for him.
Yeah.
I love that. We have current sports to address, though, including a big weekend in the world of basketball. I think I skipped Hampton Sydney earlier. Hampton Sydney's in the D3 Final Four. Congrats to them. Third team in a row from Virginia to do that, joining Christopher Newport and Randolph-Macon. They'll be at the Final Four this weekend. We'll be at the ACC tournament all week, thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates, Virginia Tech, UVA, UNC, and Duke, who played a crazy game this week. But I want to start on the other side of the break, on the women's side of the ball, where it was a night at the fights last night between South Carolina and LSU. No love lost there. But a happy day in Henrico for the University of Richmond, who's going to the dance for the first time since 2005. All that and more. We're off and running. You can join the program, 833-804-0910. Back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. First hour is so good, they brought us back for another one. It's 11 o'clock, MP on the mic, on a Monday morning, a busy Monday morning in the world of sports, 60 minutes away from legal tampering in the NFL. Happy legal tampering day to you and yours. The traditional legal tampering gift, of course, a shiny new free agent under the tree at your team's facility. Who will the Commanders get? Where will the top names land? We'll start to find out when the clock strikes noon. AWOD Radio will take over. Then he's with you 12 to 3 today, live from Capitol Ale House, where, folks, I don't mean to alarm you, but this is not a drill. It's burger night tonight at Capitol Ale House. Get over there. Get yourself a burger. I don't think that's why he does the show there on Mondays, but I'm guessing it doesn't hurt.
It definitely doesn't hurt.
I don't know if he's throwing down a burger every Monday, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did. You know, like, I was young once, you know. You know where all the burger nights are when you're young. You don't miss them. I remember in college, I could have told you where every food special was every night of the week in town. Absolutely.
Monday night would have been burger night for me.
Yeah, we had a pizza place called Gumby's Pizza. Like the green cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
They served pokey sticks.
Ooh.
Pokey was the horse that Gumby rode around on.
Dark.
The sticks weren't made. It was just breadsticks. They weren't made out of horse. just to provide a little reassurance there. Yeah.
Good.
Well, the Gumby bit was he was always getting he was made out of clay. He was always getting smashed and stretched.
No.
And yeah, he was always getting destroyed in the cartoons. That was the Gumby bit.
Tough life.
Neither of you have ever seen Gumby.
No.
Not enough Gumby
in our lives. We'll rectify that during the break here. We'll get that fixed. NFL free agency kicks off at noon with the legal tampering period. Wednesday at 4 is when signings start. We'll make time for that, of course, even though we'll be in D.C. thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates. Full coverage of the ACC tournament all week long. It's going to be fun to be up there in D.C. watching some great basketball all week. Fantastic time of year. Some big basketball coming up tonight. JMU had everything break right for them yesterday. Appalachian State's basically the only team they can't beat in all of Division I basketball. They beat them twice during the regular season. They lost yesterday at the Sun Belt Tournament, lost to the Red Wolves of Arkansas State. It's nice to say Red Wolves on the show. Because that was a lot of people on that as the Commander's name for a long time. But there you go. It's Arkansas State, they're doing it. They're playing JMU for the title tonight. JMU went up big early in the game and had to hang on to beat Texas State, the 11 seed. I think it's natural to assume that the stress of the situation caught up with them. They knew going out there, App State was out of the bracket. It's a clean path to the tournament. Here's Coach Mark Byington on fighting their way through what turned into a pretty dramatic game at the end.
Yeah, that's a tournament game, and it's hard fought. I mean, there was times in the first half I thought we're about to roll, and give Texas State credit. It was some of them fighting back and some of the mistakes by us, but to be in a situation, I can't explain how hard it is when you're in a situation, you're playing so well, and next thing you know, the game is tied. And then you got to figure out what you're made of. And the game was tied, and we figured out what we're made of. It was a great, great response. The guys played courageous and tough, and we just found enough plays to get the win at the end. And there's only two left. And so now we got the opportunity to win a championship tomorrow.
And chance to win the championship, that's tonight, 7 o'clock. Arkansas State takes on James Madison. The Dukes now just one game away from the tournament, punching their ticket, the NCAA tournament. But first, 2 o'clock today, we're 3 hours away from it, the women's team, the number 3 seed in the Sun Belt Women's Tournament, will take on Marshall for their own chance to punch their ticket to the dance and to see if they can make it to the NCAA tournament. So a big day for James Madison sports. The women up first, then the men after that. Should be a fantastic night of basketball. And look, everything's cleared for them. The path is open. If they don't, they go to bubble watch. JMU now has 30 wins, but one of them was against a Division III team, so that doesn't count. The only Division I wins are allowed to count. So the tournament committee sees them as having 29 wins. If they were left out of the NCAA tournament, they would be the team with the most wins ever that's left out of the NCAA tournament. I think if they lose, they've got a great case for the play-in game, right? This is why the play-in game was invented. They had not a soft schedule in conference. The Sun Belt was not very good this year, but they're a good team. They had some big non-conference wins, obviously one at Michigan State on the road to start the season. That's the kind of team we want to figure out if they belong in the tournament or not, and hopefully they'll get that chance. But Mayos take care of business tonight against Arkansas State. Win the Sun Belt and punch their ticket. Big night for the Dukes. We'll keep an eye on them. And even though we'll be in D.C. tomorrow, we'll give you the Dukes rundown. There's a few Dukes hanging out up in D.C. I don't know if there's as many as there are here in Richmond, but there's a few Dukes up in D.C. We'll find them. We'll give you the update on that game during our Live from D.C. show tomorrow, brought to you by our friends at Cowan Gates, as we are in the best time of year for basketball fans. Duke-UNC was on Saturday night. Delivered as always. UNC, and I love this stat, they showed this all over the broadcast, 9-0 at Cameron Indoor Arena when they're playing for the ACC title. They rise to the occasion. I think the main storyline coming out of Duke-UNC, though, was the Duke fans were definitely crossed a line. They were throwing water bottles and stuff at the UNC players, and the people who were there said the taunting was over the line. Now, this comes after, of course, there was the court storming incident at Wake Forest where Filipowski got hurt for Duke, then came back. He tripped a UNC player. I'm chalking this whole thing up to COVID, as I continue to do. I think people have forgotten how to behave in public. I just I just think people have forgotten how to be civil to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're seeing it. Like college basketball, there was 2 years there where students didn't go to college basketball games. Yeah. And that's half the student population at a four-year college. They've forgotten how to behave. And Duke UNC, it's a great rivalry and it's a passionate rivalry. But there's never a reason to be throwing things at players on the other team, right? That crosses the lines.
It does.
And there's certain things you shouldn't say and certain words you shouldn't use. And it's okay to have fun with the rivalry and want your team to win and be upset if they lose. But you know, there are lines getting crossed here, and it's discouraging, broadly speaking, societally, because these games should be a lot of fun, and that game was a lot of fun. You hate to see some knuckleheads ruin that for everybody else. That's my thought on Duke UNC. And look, nobody's done the holier-than-thou thing better than Duke over the years, but hopefully they'll take a look inside the house as well and clean that up ahead of next year's game, as UNC will probably have to as well, because when this stuff starts escalating, it just keeps escalating, unless somebody decides to be the adult in the room and calm it down. But the Tar Heels are the one seed as we head up to D.C. They're rolling. Chance, first outright regular season ACC title for Armando Bacot. Congrats to him. Just a fantastic showing by that entire team. But they'll play to back it up in D.C. Should be a fun few days of basketball. They will not have it easy out of the gate. They're going to have Virginia Tech or Florida State. There's some good teams in this bracket as we slide down the ACC bracket. First tip tomorrow at 2:00, and then it rolls to 4 a day starting on Wednesday with Virginia Tech at noon. We'll be there live at Capital One Arena getting you ready for that little Hokies basketball from our friends at Cowan Gates. UVA will be there as well. They were already locked into the 3 seed, but they had a lot to play for on Saturday night against Georgia Tech, with people starting to make noise about whether they'd be in the tournament or not. They backed it up. They did what they had to do. And Tony Bennett, with praise for Reese Beekman after the game, here's UVA coach Tony Bennett on Reese Beekman, who had a big night, got the team back in the win column.
You know, a lot of stuff gets talked about the state of college basketball. Well, let's celebrate a guy like Reese Beekman, who came to Virginia and he stayed 4 years. He tested, he went, but he decided to come back and help a team win. And he's always been a good player, but he's taken a step each year, and he's improved, and he's been here for 4 years. And let's talk about that. I know we talk a lot about transfer portal. I know we talk a lot about NIL. I know we talk a lot about things. But this young man chose to come here. He's the leading career leader in steals. He's won 2 ACC championships. He's done so much, and that's what's right.
It's Tony Bennett, who does not like the NIL era at all. Never has, probably never will, paying tribute to Reese Beekman. Look, we're going to talk a lot this week about what's wrong with college basketball, because there's a lot of things wrong with college basketball. But props to Reese Beekman, 4-year players, and that's how you build fan bases, too. Armando Bacot at UNC staying, and Reese Beekman at UVA. Those players who stay year in and year out and build the program. UVA, though, got what we call the short stick in the ACC tourney draw. Tony Bennett alluded to that. They'll be tipping off at 9:30 p.m. every night that they play until they make the title game. The 9:30 game is special, not because it's at 9:30 a night, but because they're never running on time. That game never ends before midnight. So Tony Bennett can have some coffee, and here he is on What's Up Next for the Wahoos.
I actually don't. We'll play Thursday at what time? What's the late one? I'm sure you guys all love that, don't you? At least the older guys in the group here. The younger doesn't matter. I don't know who I'm looking at or I'm talking to. So, I think you keep preparing well. You know, obviously we'll play on, is it Thursday? Is that correct? We said. So, again, just keep, use this momentum. We know we got areas to keep tightening the bolts, but prepare as well as you can, and you get into that. And again, single elimination, I don't even know what that means. Who do we play, the whatever game it is? There's such a congestion in our league, and everyone's capable, and you have to be ready. And we've learned that the hard way many times, but it's good to be in this spot and play meaningful games at this point in the season.
Somebody get Tony Bennett a racket. Get this cleared up for him. He'll be ready. His staff will be ready. They'll be scouting out the teams. One of three opponents, Boston College, Miami, or Clemson. I would bet on Clemson. They'll be playing that game Wednesday night. You'll want to stay up for that one because Clemson is trying to play their way into the tournament. They've been red hot recently. So that'll be some fun. That'd be some fun basketball. It'd be a great week, of course, up in D.C. ACC tournament live coverage from our friends at Cowan Gates will be up there starting tomorrow for the rest of the week. And then when we talk to you next Monday, there will be a bracket. There will be a tournament, and we'll be off and running. We'll see who's in it. Starting to punch some tickets already. More on the line today for JMU. We'll give our props to our friends at Longwood on the other side of this break, but I also want to dive into the VCU Dayton game because we haven't had a chance to do that yet, and it's a Monday. There's always a lot to get to. We're flying towards NFL free agency as well, expecting a lot of news at the top of the hour. You're going to keep it locked right here. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Monday morning, rolling along, 10:17 in our Richmond studios. Last time this week, I'll be in the Richmond studios up to D.C. tomorrow for the ACC tournament, which tips off at 2 p.m. Notre Dame takes on Georgia Tech. Also tomorrow, we got NC State Louisville and Boston College against Miami. Should be a fun week up there. I mean, I'm glad UVA took care of their business on Saturday. We didn't need a week of, is the number three seed at the ACC tournament going to the big dance? That's not productive for anybody, especially when you're trying to build a conference, trying to build a brand. If you got the number three seed on the ropes, that's not good. What is good is the caliber of basketball that's going to be played there. You look at your top four, UNC, Duke, Virginia, Pitt, but then the next four is just as good. You got Wake Forest in that group. They're very much still trying to play their way in. Syracuse is a team that's red hot right now, could make some noise. And, of course, AWOD's team, Clemson, who I agree, Clemson's a good basketball team with a great draw, chance to play Virginia in the quarterfinals. No disrespect to the Cavs, but if you had to pick one of those four teams right now to play, you're playing UVA. That's what we're working through here for the Cavaliers. But they finally get the ship steadied, beat Georgia Tech senior day. We'll hear from Tony Bennett in a little bit on all that. Right now, though, sticking with Henrico, the Henrico Sports and Event Center. I was out there Saturday. Beautiful building. They put on a great event. The A-10 Women's Tournament was in town this weekend. We've got a fly in the studio here, Megan. It's like buzzing around me. This is, yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's been bugging me.
First the elevator, now this. It's
one of those days.
I'm easily distracted too, as you could tell. That's enough. Yes. That's enough. Like, you're supposed to be like a professional TV announcer. Mm. Like, the world's just like engulfed in flames around them, and they're still like delivering the news. That's not me.
That's not me either. I literally have a clip I can show you, like, during the break of when I was doing a performance one day, and there was like a spider, like, or something hanging in front of me, and I was singing, and I stopped mid-song and went, "There is a spider." Okay, let's restart that line.
you can't just plow through with a spider hanging out right there. No, nobody expects that. No, you watch like the video, like Taylor Swift, like everything goes wrong, and she just keeps plowing through it. No, you could stop the show and say, "There's a spider." This wasn't a spider, to be fair. There's like a very, very small flyer gnat here. So I don't feel quite as tough.
Can I say like one really, really quick thing?
Jack, so, we got 2 hours.
Okay, good. good. There was something on my ceiling the other night. I looked up and I saw it, and I wasn't sure what it was. I couldn't tell what it was, and I tried to zoom in on it on my phone.
Oh.
And Vince was there, and Vince is like, oh, it's just like a hole in the tile. I'm like, okay. And so later, you know, he leaves and I go to bed and I look up and I don't see anything. Uh-oh. And I just text him and I'm like, babe, the hole's gone.
What are you doing with the phone?
I was like zooming in with the camera.
You couldn't like go look at it?
No, I didn't want to. I wasn't down to get out of bed right then.
The hole's gone.
I was chilling, you know. Lazy.
I got into my bed the other day and it looked, there were all sorts of little tiny black things all over. I was like, oh my gosh, we got big bed bugs. It's all over. No, my wife just had a new sweater and it was black and it had like, you know, shed all over the place.
That's better than bugs.
Way better.
Cheaper. I would take that.
Cheaper too.
Exactly.
Where were we? Spiders. These spiders, the Richmond Spiders, are your A-10
nice
champs. A-10 champs for the first time ever. Dancing for the first time since 2005. Fantastic weekend out there in Henrico at the Sports and Events Center. Had the chance to be out there on Saturday. Dennis Bickmeyer, Tom Yeager, that crew, just threw an absolute first-class event. Bernadette McGlade, the commissioner, was out there as well. It's a fun building. It's 3,500, which is just the right size for something like that. Kind of hits that right, like, mid-size arena vibe. They got a TV, they got replays, they got all the amenities. But more importantly, we got ourselves a tournament team. Siobhan Ryan and Grace Townsend of the Richmond Spiders were big players in the finals here. Maggie Dugan led the Spiders with 18, Addie Budnick with 14, Siobhan Ryan with 14. You'll hear from her first in this clip, and then from Grace Townsend, senior, who is from Richmond. So an extra special day for her. Here you go, the Richmond Spiders, your A-10 champs.
Yeah, like Addie said, surreal is the word for it. This is what we've been dreaming about since we were, like, little kids, but for the four of us, this is what we were dreaming for, and this is what we committed to. We committed to the process. Like Addie said, we committed to a team that had been losing, but we bought into the dream, and here we are. So 4 years later, this was, like, the most full circle moment ever, and to do it in front of the crowd that we had, like, this was insane.
Adding on to that, I think surreal is a great word to describe it.
Surreal is the word.
Surreal is the word, but it's also, like, it's so surreal that it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
And it's like, we just won the game, but I don't think we realize what we really just did for not only to ourselves, but for the program and the people behind us coming. And I think that shows testament to how hard we've worked, how much we've invested in ourselves, as much as the coaching staff has. And I'm so glad we stayed true to the process, and hopefully it feels real one day.
There you go, with Siobhan Ryan, Grace Townsend of the Richmond Spiders, your A-10 women's basketball champs at the Henrico Sports and Events Center. Tough weekend for VCU. I mean, obviously everybody was excited. UR was number one. VCU was number two. Lost their first game out there on Friday to St. Louis, who was the defending champ and was playing well. St. Louis then lost to Rhode Island on Saturday, but one of the St. Louis players got hurt in the early, like a bad injury that like had to be wheeled off, and so they came back late, but it was a little too late for that at that point. But VCU, tough missed opportunity there after a really good season for Sarah Tobiasu and her crew with VCU, number two seed overall. But it's UR who takes home the trophy, takes home the prize, and fantastic event, fantastic time out there in Henrico. We'll hear from Aaron Roussel. He's the UR coach. Here's what he had to say about having the event in Richmond and what that means going forward for women's basketball.
This is just an incredible thing for our region. You know, and I've joked that maybe I'm happiest. I'm happy that it's here, but maybe happiest as a father in the area for some local youth sporting events to be here, and obviously they have a great memory to come back to when following them around. But these guys, starting with the A-10, has done an incredible job selecting this place, believing and buying into this place to host a championship like this, and then the Henrico Sports Association, man, like they've just knocked this out of the park. Like this has just been such an awesome atmosphere. Maybe until you got used to it, it was just like Saturday you were looking forward to seeing what the crowd's gonna be. Today you're looking forward to see what the crowd's gonna be. I don't know if I was prepared for it on Friday. Like Friday was goosebumps, man. Friday was goosebumps when you came out of there, and like the volume, the number of people was like, I mean, we started the game 12-0, but like I was ready to get out there, man. Like it just was such an awesome environment, such an awesome experience.
Glad he didn't get out there. He doesn't have any eligibility left. But it was fun, and the Spiders fans came out and supported the team, and I hope that event stays because it was a fun time, and I think everybody who came out enjoyed themselves. It's huge. That's what you don't realize. Like the facility, it's the basketball court. You see it on TV. There's 9 more basketball courts there in the building.
Whoa.
Yeah, they tore down Virginia Center Commons Mall and built this. But there's 9 basketball courts.
Wow.
It's massive. They'll have, like, high school tournaments and AAU tournaments and all that kind of stuff going on. National Wheelchair Basketball Championship in Henrico next month.
Oh.
Yeah. Henrico's going places.
Okay, very
cool. How about that? It's no Richmond, but it's going places.
It's going places.
You know?
Yeah.
It's cool. It's taken the lead on Hanover for, most sporting Richmond suburban county right now. Although
let's go ahead, Ryko.
Chesterfield will have something to say about it. They got all the soccer courts.
Oh, okay.
They got the sports plaques, which is like 100 soccer courts. Soccer fields, not soccer courts.
That's crazy. 100?
AWOD's listening right now really mad that I called it a soccer court. I got our guy Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch. He is a huge Arsenal fan in the Premier League, and I think he meant to text somebody else, but he's like texting me commentary on the Arsenal game. I don't know. I'm not watching, but
he's trying to convert you.
Good for them, or bad for them if they lost. Whichever one, it was a good day on the soccer court or a bad day on the soccer court. One of the two. It's a sports talk radio program, but we're not up on that.
Not yet.
We'll get briefed. What we are up on is NFL football. We're flying towards legal tampering, folks. We're 93 minutes away from legal tampering open, where free agents can negotiate with future teams. Russell Wilson was not subject to that because he was cut by the Denver Broncos. He doesn't have an employer, but he does now. He's got a new team, and it's a team that I think will be a fantastic fit for him. We'll dive into that, plus a new deal for Baker Mayfield, and everything else going on around the world of football. We'll take a pause from the hoops for a second, but don't worry, we'll get right back to it. Still haven't touched on VCU date, and that was Friday night. That was forever ago. We'll get to that, though. This is it's a Monday show. The Monday shows are always packed. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I'm not devoting a segment to them because it's Monday and we're busy, but the Washington Wizards didn't just win this weekend. They won twice. Shout out to the Washington Wizards. Double win. They hadn't won since January 27th. Megan was laughing at them on the air. I was joining her and laughing them on the air. They said, take that. Here's two wins instead of one.
This is my official apology to the Wizards.
No, they still went 40 days without winning. Yeah, Noah wasn't even on the boat that long. Mm. You know, between Wizards win. No, absolutely not. We're not tendering an apology.
Okay,
to the Washington
we stand
Wizards.
By our laughter.
Absolutely, but they're winning now, so we're not laughing at them anymore.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah! A celebration that had to like that's a locker room party when you win for the first time in that long. Absolutely,
it was a big win.
Football's going wild today, though. We are now an hour and a half away from free agency unofficially opening. Players can negotiate until Wednesday, from noon today until Wednesday, then sign their contracts on Wednesday. But it was Russell Wilson's day today. He signed overnight with the Pittsburgh Steelers. $1.21 million for 1 year of Russell Wilson. If you're thinking that's not a lot of money, it's not, because every dollar he makes counts against what the Denver Broncos owe him. So he is playing for the league minimum for a player of his experience, $1.21 million. Denver Broncos have to foot the rest of their bill, $37.8 million for Russell Wilson to not play football for them this season. I'll jump in and say it. I love this for the Steelers. You got a great organization, good defense, coach in Mike Tomlin, who has dealt with crazy over the years. We can run down the list. Antonio Brown's probably your headliner, but they've had some crazy players there over the years. Shoot, Ben Roethlisberger was not sane for the final 10 years of his run after he cracked his head open on the motorcycle accident. He was insane at the end, too. I was an intern in Pittsburgh the summer he crashed his motorcycle.
Oh my God.
He motorcycle crash, wasn't wearing a helmet.
Big Ben.
Tisk tisk. Not the biggest trouble he got in. He got in bigger, more real trouble down the line. But the Steelers have experience with this. They're used to crazies. They're used to crazy quarterback. Terry Bradshaw is still making a very nice living out of being insane. It's profitable. But I love the signing because, one, Russell Wilson will have to do everything in Pittsburgh. They don't have an offense, and they don't have an offensive plan or identity. Two, doing it on the verge of free agency here, they're going to get good players out there, and I think they'll be able to recruit well to a team that has a great chance to make some noise. That defense is very good. But it's the perfect opportunity for Russell Wilson to make his name, show he's back, and really there's very little credit that's going to go elsewhere if this works for Russell Wilson, right? Because the Steelers were bad offensively this past year, and there's nobody on that roster you say, they could turn it around. That's not the case. If they turn it around, it's Russell Wilson. It's his show. And if he doesn't, he's had a good run, and it's the end of the line for him. I'm betting on Russell Wilson this year. And I wasn't on the Aaron Rodgers train, and we'll never know if Aaron Rodgers would have won with the Jets or not. But I'm in on the Russell Wilson experience here. I think he gets it done. I think he has a great year, and I think somebody signs him to a silly long-term contract that they ultimately regret after this season. Because that's the way these things work in football, right? One good year, he signs the four-year guaranteed deal, wheels come off in year two. I could see that. I don't know if that team will be Pittsburgh or another team, but I think he's going to have success this year. And Awad and I have debated this. We'll debate this again. He thinks the Bengals will be on the bounce back. And look, you don't bet against Joe Burrow. But I don't know that their best days are still in front of them. That said, it's a tough division. Browns are still very much good. And the Ravens, of course, were in the AFC title game this year. Excited to see what Russell Wilson makes out of this opportunity, out of this experience in Pittsburgh. Because I think it's a great spot for him. And I think the Steelers fans will welcome him in and give him as good a chance to get back on his feet as he's had in a long time. The other quarterback news, Baker Mayfield re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, so it's, you know, as with all football contracts, it's $100 million. But the actual terms here, it's a one-year, $40 million contract for Baker Mayfield to stay in Tampa. I'm not sure I get this one. There's no long-term game here where Baker Mayfield is like your guy for the next 5 to 10 years. I don't think. You know, I could be wrong. He inherited a good roster last year, and they were fine. They weren't spectacular, though. Certainly not $40 million of Baker Mayfield good. I don't understand that one for Tam. It seems a little bit like this is what we've got, so we'd better keep it around because we're scared of trying something new. I think in Pittsburgh, at least, you'd say what we have stinks, so there was no risk in going out and trying something new. It's tough when you're a team that's good but not great to say we got to pull the plug on this and we got to shoot for great. But that's what Tampa needs to do: pull the plug on Baker, start the rebuilding process, and bring in a young quarterback and start developing around him, which they may do this year. It could be a both and situation, but I'm not wild about the Baker Mayfield situation. A lot of guys came off the board as we talk about the Commanders, of course, closer to home. A lot of guys came off the board over the weekend. Chris Jones, who I'd been talking about, who I'd been making some noise, would love to see them make a run at him with their money. He commits to the Chiefs, 3 years, $95 million. The first two of that guaranteed. Brandon Scherff gets locked down in Jacksonville. Does look like it'll be a good market for guards and centers. I think they'll be able to rebuild the interior of their offensive line pretty well. I just don't see the big name guys out there who the Commanders would want, and I don't see any tackles who are worth spending a lot of money on. The Chargers are the interesting ones. We got our eye on the Chargers here as we slide towards noon. The league year starts on Wednesday, so you have to be under the salary cap starting Wednesday when the new league year starts. The Chargers are not. They have to cut one of their star players to make the numbers work. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, all on the chopping block. So the Chargers are going to have to send a good player packing here in the next few days or restructure a lot of contracts, which I don't think Harbaugh is going to want to do in his first year there. I think he's going to want to bring his guys in terms of being ready for that. So that's your football update. We'll be ready here as noon approaches, and a ton of news is going to be flying during AWOD show from noon to 3. Then Grant and Danny drive you home here on the Fan. News is going to be flying all day. You always see that first wave of contracts right at noon, the 1201s that you know were agreed to in secret, but now it's legal tampering. You can legally tamper starting at noon. So we'll bring those out into the sunlight. See what the Commanders will do. I continue to urge you, keep your expectations low. You can only sign players who are available to be signed, and it's not a huge crop at the positions they want this year. One name I would have circled, Noah Fant. He's the best tight end on the board. I don't think they're going to stay still with Zach Ertz, especially with the offensive line they've got. You talk about bringing in a young quarterback, you want to give him as much help as you can. That means a running back. I think they're going to get a big-name running back. Not today. I think they're going to wait for that market to cool down. And I think a guy like Noah Fant, a tight end who can bring a little a little bit of juice to that position. I think both of those are coming because you want to do as much as you can to get the quarterback position settled there. I started with the Wizards update, but we got to shout out the Capitals too, who are on a little bit of a roll themselves, starting with their win over the Pittsburgh Penguins, which broke the Penguins, by the way. Penguins last four games now, they've lost 6-1, 6-0, 5-1, and 4-0. Meanwhile, the Capitals are back on track here. They beat Chicago on Saturday 4-1. They're in Winnipeg tonight starting a West Coast swing, which is nice of them because it allows us to slide up to D.C., use the arena for basketball, ACC tournament in town this week.
So very considerate.
Be very considerate of them. Caps on the West Coast will be in Winnipeg, Edmonton, Seattle, Vancouver, and Calgary over the next five games here next week and a half. A little West Coast Canadian swing. Perfect time of year for a West Coast Canadian swing. Speaking of things happening up north where it's cold, It's Iditarod update time on the other side of this break.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, I want to know where Kate Middleton is. I don't care if that's a sports talk topic or not. I demand answers on where Kate Middleton is, and I will demand them after this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic. On Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Eventful Monday program. Appreciate y'all joining us for it. You are women headed to the dance. Punch some other tickets this weekend as well. A surprise ticket for Longwood started 2-8 in conference play. Griff Aldrich and his team rolling. William and Mary fires their coach. And we had... We had a big weekend for JMU. The women play today at 2. The men play at 7. Chance to win the Sun Belt, punch their ticket. Nobody more in tune with college basketball in the A-10 this week than our guy Awad. He is over at Capitol Ale House. He'll be live for 3 hours, noon to 3. What is up?
What is going on, Michael Phillips? Yeah, how about Griff Aldrich and Longwood? And there's a connection to VCU. He was teammates with Ryan Odom at Hampton Sydney.
Dude, Hampton Sydney in the Final Four in the D3 tournament. It's all coming up, Virginia. We don't have to panic. Virginia's got a team in already. Don't even have to worry about anybody else. And I think UVA's in. I think they've punched their ticket. And I like JMU's chances as well, whether they win or lose tonight. But I want to start with VCU Dayton, because I was frustrated by their inability to close that game. I thought they had a winnable game. They left them off the hook. Just feels like we've said that a lot this year. But then you struck an optimistic tone. You said you didn't mind this one going into Brooklyn.
No. I mean, I think they played really well, and they tried to do what nobody else was able to do, and that is win at UD Arena. It's a very tough place, and I get it. They didn't have anything to play for standings-wise, but it was their senior night. They were fired up. The fan base was there, and VCU got out to a 26-9 lead, had a 17-point lead, and it slipped away. It was, I believe, 7 at the half, and then it was kind of a back-and-forth game for most of the second half and there in overtime. But I thought there were a lot of bright spots from the game, including Zeb Jackson having one of the games of his life.
Undeniably fantastic to see Max Schulga back, too. I didn't think that would happen.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, the fact that he played and played well and now has, another 5 days to really rest up for the A-10 tournament. I want to remind everyone that we have seen this VCU team come in as the 5 seed and win the A-10 tournament before. So it is very possible that they could go on another run, and they have a lot of veterans on the squad. I think that's one thing to really like when you look at the experience with Kwani, with the two Utah State guys, Max Schulga and Sean Baristow. Oh yeah, Zeb Jackson, Christian Furman, Toby LaWall, Fats Billups all won the A-10 title last year, and you add Joe Bamisil, who's really playing some good basketball right now. There are a lot of guys with experience on this roster.
Now, I'm glad you said Joe Bamisil, because I do think he's a big part of this success that's going to happen or not happen in Brooklyn. Just if you look at games where Joe Bamisil has been dominant, where he's been hot, where he's been making threes, VCU's playing a lot better. The team is winning more. I just think he's such an important ingredient of a win here in Brooklyn. You've got to get him going, got to get him going early. And he wanted it, you know, late against Dayton. You saw him. He was hitting those threes, but ultimately you've got to get Joe Bamisil hot. Otherwise, I don't know that this is going to be their year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the obvious one, getting Joe Bamisil going. You need, you know, points from the backcourt there. Shulga's got to play well. You know, Jason Nelson's a huge X factor. He was really good in the first half against Dayton. Didn't get much out of him in the second half. But I think, you know, VCU's fate in the A-10 tournament depends on the play of Christian Furman and Toby LaWall. And Toby LaWall fouling out against Dayton is the turning point that's not getting talked about enough. Right, he was playing really well in that second half against Deron Holmes. He just fouled too much. And it was the same thing in the first game against Deron Holmes. They both got into foul trouble, and it was the same thing over the weekend. They both got in foul trouble. When Lowell went out and Furman went back in, it just was not the same. And Furman did have that bad turnover in overtime.
All right, I want to call my shot right now, Adam. You are number one seed. They'll play Thursday morning, 11:30 a.m. You've got Mason and St. Joseph's in the play-in game to play them. I think either of those teams could beat the Spiders. I'm just going to stand on the table and say it right now.
I don't see that happening. I see the Spiders at least advancing to Saturday. Look, they didn't look good against Mason. Coach Mooney kind of said it in the press conference. If you took a listen to that, human nature kicked in. This is a team that had already clinched at least a share of the A-10 title. They got down by double digits at a hard place to play, Eagle Bank Arena, and they gave up. I think they're going to use that loss to fuel them. And, you know, look, this is a Spiders team that I have at least advancing to Saturday. And I am leaning towards Loyola Chicago right now to win the A-10 tournament. But I'm going to wait until I get to Brooklyn myself to do the eye test.
Oh, he's going to do the eye test. Got to do the eye test. I mean, I don't know. I keep waiting for the Bonnies to wake up. This has to have been one of the most disappointing seasons in St. Bonaventure history, just with the expectations and where they're at. But I keep waiting. Their fans are going to be there. I don't know. It feels like if there's a time to do it, this is it. But clock may be ticking on those guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if you just look at the bracket, though, there's a lot of possibilities for upsets. I mean, Duquesne could get hot, and their second-round matchup, I believe, would be against Dayton. You know, there's a lot of ways that this A-10 tournament could go, and I believe last year was the only year in the last 10 years that we've had chalk in this Saturday game of 1-4 and 2-3. Besides that, you've had an upset every single year.
Bank on chaos at the A-10 tournament. We'll be up in D.C. starting tomorrow, live from Capital One Arena, Cowan Gates sponsoring week-long coverage of the ACC basketball tournament. We've got the ACC bracket out. You've been saying Clemson's name for a while. Get Clemson lined up with a possible game against Virginia on Thursday night. You got to like where your Tigers are sitting there.
Yeah, I do. And then also, I want to throw out the favorites, right? The UNC Tar Heels locked up the ACC title, and I believe this means the most to them. Right, I mean, when you think about it, this is a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament last year. The year before, they went to the Final Four, and Caleb Love moved on to Arizona. Armando Bacot came back, and came back with a mission, right? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back with a mission here in Terminator 2. And so I've got Armando Bacot and UNC winning it. But yes, I do still like Clemson as my sleeper pick. But they've moved up the standings. You know, I was talking about Clemson when they were the 6 or the 7 seed. It's just not as sexy to pick them now. Are they the 3 or the 4 now?
No, they're the 6. They're the 6.
They are the 6.
Yeah, they still got to win 4. So I think it absolutely still counts. We're going to – the judges have ruled, and they're going to allow it as a sleeper pick out of the 6th seed. AWOD joins us live from Capitol Ale House. 3 hours of radio coming up, and you are going to have the news flying fast and furious as you take the air here. It is the start of legal tampering in NFL free agency. As we get to noon, that's when you're going to start seeing the reports. You're going to start seeing these deals agreed to. Give me your early thoughts. What do you want the Commanders to do? When we crosstalk at 12:15, what do you want to be talking about that the Commanders have done?
Yeah, funny. Legal tampering period starts now. I've been tampering with Stubb for the last 3 weeks. But I want the Commanders to get in touch with a running back. That's what I want. I want a big, sexy name, the running back position. And you threw out there Derrick Henry, so I'm going to give you all the credit in the world if that's what happens. But the guy that I've circled is Austin Eckler, and another guy is DeAndre Swift. I think if you bring in a veteran guy that has some experience and team them up with Brian Robinson Jr., you could be looking at a legit threat there in that backfield.
Yeah, I think you're doing everything you can to make life easier for the quarterback you pick at number two. And I think Noah Fant's a name I've got circled. I don't think they're going to say we got Zach Ertz, we're done at tight end. I know you're not saying that. I'm not saying that either. I think they could absolutely continue their shopping there.
Yeah, Noah Fant doesn't get me fired up at all. Not Sice for Noah Fant. Maybe it's just the name Noah. I don't know. Not in.
It's a Noah from AWOD right there on Noah Fant. All right, AWOD Radio, 3 hours. Capitol Ale House Live. It's Burger Night. We'll send it over to him after the break here. Thanks for joining us today. When you tune in tomorrow, we'll be in D.C., live from D.C., thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates, kicking off a fantastic week of ACC tournament coverage, one of my favorite weeks of the year. We'll be talking to everybody up there. You're going to love it. But right now, we'll step aside. AWOD Radio up next. Grant and Danny drive you home. JMU basketball plan for a trip to the dance tonight at 7 o'clock. You know where you are. It's 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.